Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
A chainsaw is a dangerous tool if you don't know what you're doing, and the credit card is the chainsaw of the financial world. How do you handle it properly? Let's talk about it. Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where money matters become conversation starters. Let's get talking. In today's episode, we're joined by Fati. She's an Olympic hopeful for fencing and coaches fencing, and we're going to talk today about her debt journey, about how she quickly accumulated a whole lot of credit card debt due to fencing, which I learned is a very expensive sport, and how she reclaimed financial stability. Fati discusses the pivotal steps she took, including working with a debt company, securing a new job that paid a whole lot more, getting secured with her 401k, and how she talks about money with other people. But should credit cards be avoided altogether? This is the main question that I'm looking to tackle. Should we just completely stay away from them, or should we embrace them? Fati's going to cover how she got into debt quickly, but we're also going to learn from her how she manages them properly and how she recommends people use their credit cards like debit cards. It's something that I think you can take a lot of insight away from. Our discussion around credit cards today is really valuable, and I think anyone is going to be able to take something away from today's conversation. Join Fati and I for a fantastic conversation today around credit cards in today's interview. It's really a good one that you're going to want to stick around for and share and have a money talk about. And speaking of money talks, the money talking points for today's episode are: how do you manage a credit card responsibly? And two, what is a credit card trap that you may fall victim to? We'll of course talk about those money talking points at the end of the interview, but with those money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's interview with Fati. I'm here excited to talk about credit cards, getting in and out of debt, talking about money with other people. Would you mind go ahead and introducing yourself for everyone?
Yes. Hi. Thank you for having me. I am Fati Largaspada. I am a Division I fencing coach, Olympic hopeful, and I have an MBA. So.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember reading your introduction. You gave me some information that you enjoy talking about money and helping people feel comfortable about money. But it was really interesting. You're a Division I fencing coach. I thought that was fascinating. I've never met someone who's done fencing before, to be honest. So this is a first, but I'm excited to talk about money with you and then learn a little bit about your story. So let's jump into it. Let's jump into it about your debt story. You mentioned that you have a story about getting into debt very fast. Could you elaborate on that for us?
Well, I mean, if you have any listeners that know about fencing, they must know that it's not a very cheap sport. My whole life, I grew up, like, my family's in fencing. So, like, for me, it was kind of easy to just jump right into it without having to be concerned about it. And then I got my MBA. I was a Division I coach there as well. And as soon as I got done with college, I was like, hey, like, I want to keep fencing, but I want to be in one of the best clubs in the world. And that was in New York City. And it's very, very expensive. Just membership alone was like $1,000. And I'm not talking about like coaching fees, traveling to competitions, equipment, like all of those things add up. And like, if you have a good, you want to have a good season, you're spending about like $20K minimum. And like, I was looking to qualify to the Olympics back then. So it was also a lot more expensive to be able to go to these tournaments, make the points. It was a lot. And so like that kind of started ramping up my debt. And I ended up getting, you know, a bunch of credit cards, and I was just like putting everything on the credit card and like saying to myself, I'll pay back. And I got to a point where I was like about 1100, no, yeah, 11,000. Yeah, 11K debt, like a lot, like over 10K, right?
Yeah, so it was that is a lot.
It was a lot of debt. And I was just like, what am I going to do now? And at that point, I had, like, you know, I'm an immigrant, so I was on an OPT then, and I was a property tax company working for my year that I was able to. And then I was done with that, and I was like, well, I have all this debt. Like, how am I going to pay for this? And so I started like researching a bunch of stuff. Well, also I got a fencing job that wasn't honestly like not even paying me enough to be able to afford the debt that I also had. on top of like my living and like all those things,
yeah.
You know, I was making very little. So I was like really concerned about what was I going to do. And then on top of that taxes, I was just like, dang, like I'm just wrapping up debt like nobody. And so I decided to, well, that's kind of how I got into debt, right? So I started looking for ways to get out of it. And I ended up finding a company that just kind of helps you out, talk to the creditors, like they talk to the creditors on your behalf, and you'll just have to like pay a certain amount every month and they'll take care of it. And I was doing that for like about 2.5 years, almost 3 years. And little by little, I started making changes here in my life, even leading on to my job that I'm currently at right now, which is like, it has been a great blessing to be able to get back on track with my good credit and everything. So just kind of was able to land up like a company that helped me work with the creditors. I started paying and I was just a little more tied with my spending.
Yeah. Would you say then, did it feel like the debt just ran away from you? Did you realize you were getting into that much debt, or was it just kind of all of a sudden you woke up and you're $11,000
in debt? I realized that and I was trying to pay little by little, but it just got out of hand and I just couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I just couldn't keep up with it anymore.
Couldn't keep up with it. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you tried to be aware of it. That's really good. So you mentioned you got help from a company. You got in with one of those companies that negotiate with creditors, it sounds like, and you pay them a fee and they help you pay down the cards. What else did you do? Like, did you cut way back on your spending? Were you living on a super cheap diet or?
Well, I was living on a very cheap, I was getting paid very cheap. So I had to find, I was in New York City at that point. Right. So I found an apartment I was living with a bunch of people. So I was paying about $600 a month. At this point, I was making $2,500, which is like unlivable if you really think about it. So I was just trying to save the most that I could. My family, they helped me a little bit, not with the debt, like just with living situations sometimes here and there. But I was able to lock in with this company and they got me on that monthly plan. And like I was paying like the bare minimum that I could, because at that point I was like, if I pay too much and I can't live, and like I need to live, you know, like I need to be able to survive and like be able to eat and like do all those things. And it became like a hassle. But starting with that monthly plan that helped me, I started like to be able to close all the credit cards that I could close with the little that I had. I was able to like say, okay, like this month I probably won't go out as much. Like, I'll pay this off and then I'll let them take the rest of it. And that kind of started helping out. Another good move that I did was I get a new job that was actually like paying me double than what I was making there. And so that helped a lot. I was able to bring up the monthly payment that I was doing to this company, like double also. And I was able to pay also some taxes that I owed. And like that, honestly, like that kind of just ended like 6 months ago, you know, like it's not like I'm just like free from debt like for a long time. It's been like a couple months. And with that, like I also was like, well, this job came with my 401k that was something that I couldn't even think about back then, because I had so much debt that I was like, okay, I can't even think about saving when I have all this debt. So that was one thing. So that alone got me a little bit less stressed, because I was like, well, something's been saved up and like it will be I'm going to be taken care of in the future, right? Because of this one thing that's been saved up. And I upped the payments for that debt. So that helped a lot. I also got one of those debit cards that help you build credit, which I was a little skeptical at first. I was like, I don't know how this is going to work out, but I like committed to that process and my credit started changing a little bit just because I started making those changes. Like my credit was horrible. It was like in the 500s, man. Like it was pretty bad. And now I'm like, I'm happy to say that I'm like at 702. So it's like making those little changes helped me. So I had two of those debit cards that were acting as credit cards because I couldn't get a credit card anymore. I was like, if I take more on this, like first, like they're not even letting me take another credit card because of how much debt I had. And so like, they were like, we're not going to do this. Like you're insane. So like, I was getting denied for things. I was like, okay, like, you know what? I'll just make it work with what I have. And then once I actually have time and pay all my debt, I'll be able to lock in a credit card. And so, you know, I kind of focus on that, and little by little, I was able to get a new credit card too, also, and pay all that debt. So it was a long process. I thought I would never see the end of it. I was working with like Excel sheets to see like how much money could I just pay off as much mm-hmm. without having to like sacrifice all the good things of like socializing with friends and being able to go out, like all those things, like they got taken care of. But I was looking at my Excel sheet constantly as to like how many more months do I have to keep doing this to be able to pay.
Yeah. So it sounds like you kept very close track. You had something driving you. You wanted to get out of debt. What do you think the benefit of working with that company was? Was it just having someone that you were accountable to, that you owed them money, so they helped you out? Or
I think that helped me just kind of being like, okay, like this is the amount of money that you're going to be allocating to your debt. And it's, you should just trust that process as long as it, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter how long it takes. Like for me, I was just like, I need somebody to talk to these people because I'm not going to do it. I don't know how to talk to creditors, right? Like I'm not going to fight for my behalf when I don't have the time to do that either. So I was able to do that. And I think it helps. I think like at first, like it can seem a little scammy, I would say, but yeah. In the end, like I didn't pay more than I owed. So I think that mm-hmm. that kind of like having those people vouch for me helped a lot. And it's not something that I'm like recommending, you know, like don't get in debt. Obviously, yeah. I will never want anybody to go through that because like it sucks, right? Like you want to do all these things, travel, buy gifts for your people, right? And you can't even do that because mm-hmm. you have so much debt. So that was a struggle.
Yeah, I can imagine. And wow, that's really, we started right off with the story of you getting into debt, getting out of debt. The main factor behind this episode is talking about credit cards mm-hmm. and maybe a little bit of your story. People are hearing, should we stay away from credit cards altogether? Should we not bother with them? What's your opinion on credit cards?
Well, as I was like starting to learn about those things, like I was actually in like my last year of my MBA and I had a friend that had just graduated and he was like, hey, I think like this is like, he's like, I've been researching a lot. I think that you should, if you want to get a credit card, you should start like with the bank that you have currently. At that moment, I had Bank of America. And so mm-hmm. I decided to open up a credit card with them. And my first credit line was like 700. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, I was like, I don't have anything to spend this on. So I was just like, I kept it. And mm-hmm. I ended up going on a trip to Orlando. And I ended up meeting the people from American Express. And they were like, oh, we're giving credit cards out, like, and mm-hmm. your entrance for the park will be free. Like they had some promotion that like dragged me. Yeah. And I was like, okay, like maybe my second credit card. And they gave me like a big credit line. They gave me like a 4,000 credit line. And I was like, wow, like what am I going to do with $4,000? But that was hitting yeah. me up to be able to pay for the fencing, which at the end of the day turned out to become a really big debt. But he gave me some advice as to like, okay, credit card, like people, like the creditors like you to have debt, but not have too much debt. And that way your credit score is going to start rising. So I listened to that advice and I kept my credit card debt at 10%, but like that's $70 out of 700 at the beginning, right? So yeah. like it was pretty nice. Like I got to see my credit score going up to like the 730s and I was like, okay, this is really cool. And then I got the other credit card and like my credit score was just going up and I was like, this is really awesome. I'm not really doing anything. And then I started yeah. seeing it go down and I was like, wow, like this is pretty crazy. And so like, I don't think having credit cards is a bad thing. I think it helps you be able to have options to do other things in the future, like getting a car, or like maybe being able to build your credit to maybe get a new apartment, like, or just rent a new apartment, mm-hmm. right? Like those things were available to me then. And then little by little, my options to have, you know, a nicer place to live, like just were decreasing. Even when I moved into my new place, like it was really hard to get a good apartment because of my credit. And so I was like, I literally had said to myself, hell no, like I need to get out of this debt so I can mm-hmm. get myself into a nicer place, nicer apartment, like all the nicer things that I wanted to do that require me to have good credit. And the only way for me to build that was through a credit card. So mm-hmm. I think that people shouldn't stay away from them. I think that you should get them, but you should be responsible with them. Like I kind of use my credit card as a debit. Like I will pay it mm-hmm. off every mm-hmm. single month. Like there's not an instance, like I don't allow myself to like even have that 10% anymore. Like, I'm just going to pay it all off. Like I'm not yeah. going to spend more than I can, like buy more than I can chew again.
Yeah, and it's definitely a common misconception that you have to carry debt on a credit card. You can pay them off. If you pay them off monthly, that balance is still getting reported. Your credit score is still going up. Do you have any other tips for people of how they can use credit cards responsibly if they do want to have one?
I mean, it's like the one, my one is like pay it off and like don't fall in for like the little traps that, hey, like spend this much and like you'll get this more. And I'm like, but you really have that much money to spend? Like to myself, I see the promotion and I'm like, that's really cool, but I don't have anything to spend that on. Neither I wanted to. And then that's just going to start increasing some debt that I don't even have yet. So I'm like, be like, prioritize the things that you want. Like, for example, I have a credit card right now that gives me a lot of points and I'm able to travel with those points. And so like whenever I can use it, I go ahead and use it just so I can ramp up the points, but knowingly that I can actually pay for it. You know, like I don't just use it just to use it.
Yeah, that's the key. What you just said there, you know, you can actually pay for it because I don't know. My wife and I have one credit card that has like a $12,000 credit limit. What in the world are we going to use a $12,000 credit limit for? And that's just so dangerous when you start thinking about, because I could go spend $12,000. I could find, trust me, me too.
But like, do I need
to? Exactly. And that's what's so dangerous. Yeah, I'd go have all the new Apple products, but it puts me in some steep debt. Like you said, you found yourself really quickly in debt when you allow that to run away from you. And it's just, it's really interesting because like you said, be careful of the traps, like those promo traps. And one thought that came to my mind is these credit card companies are millions and billions of dollars. Like that they have so much money in research to figure out how to get you into debt. Like they know what they're doing. They're not just giving you these points and this money with this promo out of the goodness of their heart.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful and be aware of that sort of stuff.
Like the one thing that I do like about that is like you can turn that into money too, like some of those points. And I'm like, cool, I can buy more trips or I could like pay off the debt, you know, like, and that's something that kind of caught me the first time. It was like, okay, I can pay off this debt with like the points that I'm earning from having the debt, but then it didn't catch up, you know? So I was just like, now I'm like, I know I'm more aware of that when it's happening. And I'm like, okay, I could use it for this or I could just not even spend it, like you know, like there's like all these options that I have now knowingly that I got into that debt first. So
it, and your 2% or 3% back on your credit card is always going to be less than the interest rate on your credit card. So like you're not going to get ahead by spending more. You're always going to be, it's always a losing game.
You're always going to be behind.
Awesome. How do you think credit cards can benefit people? You've mentioned a couple. What are some ways that you used them? You mentioned traveling. Is there any other ways you like to use credit cards?
I would say, I mean, the travel really helps, like, especially if you're like, I travel a lot. And like, for me, having a credit card that benefits my travel, as in like getting free bags or like getting into the lounges, or maybe if you travel once, like you'll get double points. Like those things like really help me because of my lifestyle. I will also think like, if you like my next, goal is to get a car, right? So like in my building off of that is like having, ensuring that I have good credit by like staying on top of my debt. I don't know. I can't think of other things that like, for example, for me right now will help me, but like in the future it's like, if I want to buy a house, like I think like having built off of that credit with that will help. Obviously like now I'll have the car, right? So like that will also help me get like maybe a higher credit score if I pay it on time. Like all those things add up. So I think like you can benefit in many ways. Like there's also other perks that you get through credit cards that have to do with spending, obviously. But for example, like you get discounts at certain stores, like that's pretty cool. And like sometimes like the stores are like those stores that I go to, so I'm like, okay, like that's great, I was gonna go there anyway, so like if I can get like that 15%, maybe 20 at most, that'll be good.
Those are fun things to be aware of, and when you can take advantage of it and it's not costing you any extra because you're paying your credit card off, that's when you feel like you're getting a real win. Those are really fun things to take advantage of. But awesome. I think that great conversation around credit cards. I think that's really interesting. Hopefully it's eye-opening for people. But one thing that I think is also going to be eye-opening is if they go and talk about this with other people, which is where I want to move us to, is talking about money. What do you enjoy and why do you enjoy talking about money? I know you mentioned to me that you like to talk about it so that people aren't uncomfortable with money. Maybe elaborate on why you like talking about money.
I mean, I think one of the things is, I mean, I had my MBA in finance, and like talking about money is kind of like one of those things that have to do with finance and like just kind of interpreting the numbers. And I think that a lot of people, and I'm like, I don't know how familiar you are. I'm reading this book called The Psychology of Money.
I've read it.
You read it?
Yes.
Nice. But one of the things that I think that, and that's very true, is like how you were raised around money. And I can see it with my friends. Some of my friends grew up like with little to no money, and like they're always like, oh, let's just save as much as we can. Like, and I'm like, that's good, but when are you going to live? You know, like you can save enough and not be able to build memories with anybody. Like, I'm not saying like go spend $10,000, right? But like, you know, go have that vacation, or go to the movies, you know, like do those little things that make you and your people happy. And I think that a lot of my friends like that grew up in, like in a different, you know, like lifestyle, like it has to do a lot with how you were raised. Like, for example, my mom is always like, oh, you should save. And I'm like, I'm saving, but I'm also going to live. I'm also going to do the things that I enjoy, because I see my friends do it. And like, sometimes I wonder, some of my friends, I'm like, how are you doing that? You know, like, but it also has to do with like them like taking the step of like, I am going to save. Like, for example, I talk to my friends a lot of like, some banks will give you the 0.0001% on your savings account. And I'm like, well, I'm always researching for that company that will give you like the 5% or like the 4.5%, right? Because why not let your money make money? And you don't even have to do anything about it. Like, you just got to put your money in there and make sure that it's growing. And sometimes when I come up with this conversation, some of my friends are like, oh, but I don't know, like, if it's a scam. And I'm like, it's not a scam. Like, why are you so afraid of like talking about this? Like, I'm trying to help you make, like, get money for free, right? And like, I think that it's a good thing. I've seen a lot of my friends like jumping into this like banks to like put their money away, and they start seeing their money grow. So I think that it sets you up for the future. And if you're avoiding that topic, like, I think it's a very, very important topic that you shouldn't be afraid of talking about. I think you should be comfortable talking about money, because it's something that we all have, but we don't know like what to do with it. Right. Like, sometimes we don't know what to do with it. And sometimes we're learning as we go. Like, how do you know about investing if you don't talk about it? Right. Like, and that has to do with money. So I think that it's, a lot of my friends have become more open because I always bring up the topic. So,
nice.
And sometimes they ignore me, but like, I will keep doing it because I want them to do well in the future, and I want them to succeed, and I want them to like have the things that they say they always wanted. And how are you going to do that if you can't even get out of your 0.001 savings account? Like, that's not going to save you any money.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's why we're here talking about money, because we enjoy talking about it. So we can sit here for 20 minutes and chat about it, but do you find value when you bring it up? Or I guess, yeah, do you find value in people talk about money together? Does it bring more value to you? Or do you feel like you're always doing the teaching, I guess?
No, I feel like it does bring value. Some of my friends, like, actually, like, one of them came back to me. He's like, oh, actually, I found this account, Fatih, and I know you sent me this, but like, this is better. And I was like, wow, I ended up opening an account with the bank that my friend sent me. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool, because now I got you into it. And now you're going to go tell other people, which is good. You know, so I think that we're all trying to help each other out. And I do see a lot of value talking about this, because like I said, like, depending on how you grew up, you experience money differently, and you have like your things about like your own thoughts about money. And like, for example, like I said, my mom is always like, oh, you should save. And I'm like, but we're good. I have my savings. Yeah. I have my 401k, and I have my spending. I'm going to go with my spending too. You know, like, I think that it's okay that if you're spending money, but as long as you know that you have a cushion and you have like something to rely on when things go bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Having that cushion there is super helpful. How do you bring up money to people? So let's say you notice someone is in a financial situation that you know they could be doing better, and whether it's the bank account or maybe they're getting themselves into a lot of debt, how do you bring that up naturally, or so that they don't feel like you're judging them or something?
Yeah, I mean, I will say a lot of people, like, when they're in debt, like, they kind of don't want to talk about it, or they're embarrassed. And whenever I see, like, people, if I'm close enough, like, they'll bring it up and like they'll be able to talk about it. But like, I think what's helped the most for me to be able to talk about this with people is like telling them that myself, I've been in debt, and like, I was struggling and like I was making like very little money and trying to pay all this much debt. Like, and I think that kind of gets people a little more comfortable and they start opening up about like, okay, well, like here I'm struggling too with this, you know, like, and it's not embarrassing because it's not like you grew up and everybody taught you how to like spend your money and like where to put it at all times, right? Like you don't learn that. Like you kind of are just thrown into it. And like, for example, like people sign student loans and like, you don't know what that's going to do in the future. You just want to go to college and you just need to get the money. Right. So like, and then once you're out of college, you have all this debt and you're like, dang, like now I'm in all this debt and nobody can help me, you know? And so it's concerning. And that's why I feel comfortable talking about the fact that I got in so much debt when I was like 22, you know, and like, it's kind of crazy that I dug myself out of that hole and I didn't ask for anybody to help me with that specific thing. Even though like people that are very close to me knew about it, but I was just like, no, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to fucking do it.
So. Yeah. I mean, that's, I like the idea of sharing your story first, especially if you're trying to help someone who's been through something similar. That's going to just, it's going to peel back the layer just a little bit to help you get a peek. And then they're going to start sharing more and more. Let's maybe go back to when you were in debt. Mm-hmm. How can people, like if they find themselves in debt now, how do they ask the right questions? Like how do they approach someone? Let's say they know a friend who is good with money. How do they approach that person and say, hey, can you help me get out of debt? Or do you have any ideas about this? How do they start the money talk?
Well, I'll be honest, I didn't ask people for help. That was my one thing. And for myself, I was just like, let me just Google like how can I pay my debt fast? Or like, how do I talk to debt collectors? Like I started Googling those things and that's when I started finding all these companies that can help you do that. And I was like, And at first I was embarrassed to tell anybody that I was doing that. So I just kept it to myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'm just going to pay somebody to do this and like have it be moved on. But like, I think that it was better. It would have been better for me to talk to somebody, like actually my friends, and be like, hey, like I'm struggling. Like I don't need help, but I just need somebody to listen to me. And maybe I would have gotten a lot of my friends being like, hey, like you could do this or you could do that. Because at that point, I didn't know, you know, and like I was mostly embarrassed rather than like anything else. I was just like, how did I put myself into this situation? Like, I just don't understand it. But I wanted to do all the things that I did. And so I did nothing in the moment. But afterwards, I was like, yeah, I could have talked to a bunch of people and a bunch of people would have been like, here are the options maybe, or we'll just listen. You know, I think that you shouldn't just like compartmentalize that because it's something very like psychological. So, you know, like money's like very psychological, right? And like if you, that started putting a negative stigma on money for me, right? So like, had I been open about it, probably would have been a better thing just for my overall well-being and, you know, health. But it's not embarrassing. Awesome. Like nobody teach you about money like that, right? So like, I think that people should be open and not feeling embarrassed about it, even though it's easier said than done. But once you experience it, you kind of lose the embarrassment, you know?
I think that's a great way to summarize it as it's not embarrassing. No one teaches you about this. So like, you shouldn't expect yourself to know how to avoid it. So it's okay. And just ask someone some simple questions, let them help you find options. But this has been a fantastic conversation. We've gone through quite the journey of your story, getting in debt, getting out of debt, and even coming out of debt and still saying credit cards are good and can be useful. But also, I really hope people were able to take some away from this conversation about how to start their own money talks and how to ask people those hard money questions. But Bhati, thank you so much for joining me today. If there's any information that you're doing online or anywhere where people can find you if they have questions about getting out of debt, please share. Is there anywhere
people can find you? I don't have like a full like business stream on how like on debt. I just have my MBA and I'm living life. I'm a Division I coach and personal trainer also. You can find me at F. Larga Espada, my last name, on Instagram. That's where I'm at.
Awesome. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes because I couldn't try to spell that if I tried.
It's okay.
So I'll make sure it's linked. All for right, everybody. Perfect. But thank you so much for joining.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
So what kind of impact can you expect, or what are some things that are key to take away from today's interview that I thought were important? One of the first takeaways that I have is the importance of being aware and proactive about your financial situation. If you're aware of where you currently are in your finances, it makes it a whole lot easier to figure out where you want to go. We talked about that a few episodes ago about knowing where you currently are and the importance of that. But if you're being proactive about your financial situation, that means you know that you need to be saving money and you're not just trying to spend every dollar that you come in contact with. And being aware of your financial situation means that you know you maybe have a hard time managing a credit card, so you stay completely away from them. You know that you might want to spend every dollar that you come in contact with, which means the dollars that you haven't come into contact with yet through credit card debt. You might try pre-spending your income because you have the availability on a credit card. So being aware of how you manage money can be extremely helpful and hopefully something that you took away from today's episode. Another one that I thought was important is the significance in Fati's story about getting her higher paying job. She mentioned she got a job that paid about twice as much. Now I know if you're in debt and you think about getting a job that pays twice as much as you're currently making, that's probably a dream for you and probably going to help you get out of debt very quickly. So that might be something that's worth exploring, is how can getting a higher paying job help you get out of debt quickly? We also talked today about the importance of a 401k. Fati shared that she felt more secure once she got her 401k in place and had some savings targets lined up and had some savings plans in place. So consider your workplace 401k. I love talking about the 401k, getting your employer match and things like that. Make sure you're taking advantage of that because it can be something that's quick and easy and helps your mental and emotional state when it comes to your finances, because you know you're likely going to be a lot more okay when it comes to retirement because you've been saving for retirement through your work's 401k. We also shouldn't discount the impact of living a cheap and frugal lifestyle while you're trying to get out of debt. We talked today about how that helped Fati get out of debt because she knew that she had to live a little tighter so that she had the money to pay the company she was working with to help her get out of debt. So really consider, where are the places you can cut back? This is where I think tracking can be so important, because there's very likely something in your personal finances that you don't really need, but you don't realize you're spending so much money on. There's probably going to be somewhere that you can just easily cut right out of your budget and just take away without it really even causing any harm to you, because you didn't really want to be spending that much money there anyways. So consider how you can be more frugal when it comes to your getting out of debt journey, because it's going to make it a whole lot easier when you find that extra little bit of money that you can snowball towards all your other debts. I also want to make sure to highlight one of the things that I said in the interview about paying off credit cards like they are a debit card. Fati brought this point up, that she says she uses her credit cards like a debit card, and I wanted to make sure to really emphasize one key thing. You do not need to carry credit card debt in order to build your credit score. Let me say it again, you do not need to carry credit card debt month to month in order to build your credit score. That means you don't need to be paying interest on your credit card to build your credit score. You don't need to let $10 stay on there at all times to build your credit score. That just isn't necessary. It's okay to pay off your credit card in full and not pay any interest to the bank. How I like to handle it is by paying my credit card off monthly. It's one way that I manage my credit cards responsibly, and there's still balances being reported to the credit bureaus showing that I'm using the credit card. It makes it way easy to manage and helps you stay on top of it. Another thing that I think is extremely important is starting money talks with your friends. And starting money conversations with people who might be in debt. Maybe they're laying seeds and planting hints that they want to get out of debt, but they don't know where to start. But you know where to start, so start that money talk today, and it really will help everyone get out of debt. And like Fati shared, don't be embarrassed by your story. Help other people not feel embarrassed. Share your own story to encourage them, and you're going to help so many people in your journey as you start sharing your money story and your money journey with other people. Next, I want to talk about the two money talking points and how they apply to my life a little bit, and how you can talk about them with other people. The first money talking point is, how do you use credit cards responsibly? Like I shared, I make sure our credit cards are paid off once a month in full. How do you manage credit cards responsibly? Do you make sure you pay them off with each transaction because you're just getting started with credit cards and you don't want to let that debt run away from you? Do you make sure to pay it off monthly? How do you manage your credit cards responsibly? I would love to know. Leave a comment on YouTube or send me an email. My email, of course, is in the show notes. The second money talking point is, what credit card traps might you fall victim to? Why did I include this one? Well, because there's a different kind of credit card trap for everybody. Like I said, these credit card companies are millions and billion dollar organizations out there not to do a good gesture towards you in giving you rewards. They're out there to make money off of you. So there's very likely going to be a credit card trap for everyone. For me, my credit card trap is 0% financing, and especially Apple. Apple's 0% financing really almost gets me every time because I say, hey, I can spread this out over 12 months really easy. I can easily make that payment. But that's where they get you. You make that call once, and then you do it again, and then suddenly you're in a ton of debt because you let it run away from you. And sure, I'm being a little bit exaggerative saying it's just going to run away from you super fast. But it's those little things that count that make those small steps towards you getting into a ton of credit card debt. So avoid those small traps. Make sure you're careful. And I think this money talking point is great because if you're aware of it, then you can avoid it. So go have this money talk with a friend so that you can both avoid credit card debt together. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode and interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I hope you were able to take something insightful away from that conversation with Fati. I know I was. I enjoyed listening to her story about how she got into debt rapidly and how she climbed out of debt. And this really begins a new phase that I'm trying to start with Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, and that's talking to regular, everyday people about their money stories. So do you know somebody with a money story that's really interesting or fun to talk about, or someone who really loves talking about money? Let me know. Send me an email. My email is in the show notes, or leave me a comment on social media, and I would love to get connected with whoever you'd like to hear me talk about money with. But be sure to follow on YouTube because I'm sharing some great video content over on YouTube, including last week's episode. So be sure to check out that episode all about the 401k, the employer match. It's a little bit of a further deep dive from the conversation we had on last week's podcast. And you can look forward to more content based on this episode in the coming week. So be sure to head over to YouTube by searching Money Talk with Skylar Fleming on YouTube, or click the link in the show notes to find my channel and make sure to subscribe both on YouTube and on whatever podcast player you're listening on. But thank you for listening. If you could please share with a friend, have a money talk with them, or leave me a 5-star review, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,